Well, Rocky and Wayne, it's Friday in front of an exciting week next week with our stocks and acreage report on Tuesday. I think we still probably have some rolling of or liquidating of farmer contracts to get priced. And then it's a 3.5-day week, so a lot of trading may get pressed into a limited window. Starting with corn, we have SEP corn down 18 cents for the week. We saw DEES corn make a new contract low. I think it's safe to say weather and crop conditions improving are the root of this lower trade, not to mention moving below some key moving averages. Managed money has on a substantial short still. We'll see what that's updated to. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back above 300 on this afternoon's COT report. Good to excellent improved this past week, 1%, with the trade looking for it to decline 1%. T-Storm is forecasting 2 weeks of warm to much warmer temps, which, you know, in some circumstances could be underlying supported, but not when the next comment from T-Storm is a five-day forecast with substantial rain. Most of Iowa, Missouri, Ohio, and all of Illinois, Indiana are slated for 1 to 2 inches of rain in this five-day window. And then July 1-5, Nebraska and the Dakotas to see 3/4 to 1.5. Ukraine is reported to have sold 10 corn cargoes to China. Brazil's corn lineup of vessels is at 3.3 million tons and climbing. Argentina is 78% harvested and offering the cheapest corn in the world. Export sales are down 14% versus last year, and that equals the estimate, but shipments down 24%. And I would say, just in the case of exports, short of a large sale to China, nothing bullish is going to come from that arena. And there weren't any exciting sales announced from the U.S. to China that would compare to the 10 cargoes out of Ukraine. Ethanol margins did decline this week about 3 cents a gallon, but remain profitable. Ethanol production has been 950,000 barrels per day to 1,000,001 since November of 2014. The recent weekly low because of COVID and reduced gasoline consumption was 537,000 barrels, so roughly cut in half. That was April 24th. This coming week, we would look to print a number that goes back above 900,000 for the first time since March 25th. With the resurgence in COVID in at least five states, I think they're now adding to that, I would say the USDA's ethanol number is overstated, and the final number will be something below that. The cash basis on the week with a farmer, a resistant seller, is unchanged to up 6 cents. You know, we'd look for farmer pricing, which there's substantial basis in DP contracts to be priced. We felt, looking at our customer base, a lot of that corn had already been sold or consumed. Therefore, it was represented with longs in July futures, and we thought as the farmer needed to price, well, latest, I think, is next Tuesday, and the majority of it should be done Monday, but that it would have a bearish influence on spreads, which has been absolutely not the case, with that spread narrowing over 2 cents this week and getting into under 2 cents, I think, at one point today. The average trade estimate for planted acres is 95.2. We don't do a survey ourselves, but in talking to people in North Dakota and hearing comments from seed companies, if we were to weigh in on that number, it's 95.2 could be too high. It could, that number may be lower. This next week is going to be busy but short. Board closes early on Thursday and is closed all day Friday. Rocky, you have relocated to Wisconsin, and how does this bean market look from there? Any better than it did from Florida?
No, not really, although it was kind of a bad week for crusher this week, and I suppose that's the story. I mean, meal is down $4.50 to $5 on the week, most of it today. Oil down 129 ticks. Beans were lower, 11.5 cents on the week, with new crop November down 20. The nearby beans were supported because CIF market is above delivery, so that has a little bit of support there. Usually when that happens, it's bullish, but in this scenario, I guess the better weather and the poor crush margins have pulled down the new crop. So with the weaker meal, weaker oil, crush margins slid rather dramatically. I think Gunner pointed out down 14 on the week. Crush margins have just been a struggle. Part of it is because South America is offered so cheap. I think you've got South America offered 2 or 3 over on meal and the U.S. 18 over roughly. But you kind of thought, or at least I thought, that bean supplies would be dwindling in South America and consequently those meal offers would go up. It appears like the U.S. is going to go lower. With the weaker crush, domestic processors are rolling to the queue. As you would expect, weaker crush, bids are lower, only 3 higher on the week and 37 or 38 lower bids on the week. Export markets, they remain somewhat firm. I think the PNW traded 130 this week. It's still around 122, 125. The CIF market, oh, I guess June and July are down a couple pennies here. But the CEP and AUK markets are up at least 2 cents, 2 to 3 cents with the business happening out there. Bean sales this week, 601,900 metric tons. A lot of people talking about we're never going to make the USDA sales number. Well, we only need 10,000 tons a week to meet the USDA sales number. So the more interesting and more important is probably bean shipments. We only have 302,000 tons this week. We need to average 790,000 tons a week to meet the USDA number. I don't know if that's going to happen. We are supposed to have substantial programs picking up in late July and early August. In fact, I continue to hear from the export world that September through January is going to be record liftings of beans out of the U.S. So proved to be a very interesting couple months. New crop bean sales this week, 560,700. The total is 6.1 million metric tons. Last year was only 2.3 at this time, and 2 years ago it was 7.5. So we aren't all that far off of 2 years ago. But most people feel like new sales at this stage are disappointing. But like I said, the exporters are still feeling like we're going to have a substantial program. Let's see here. What's happening in South America? The peso in Argentina continues weak, 70+1. FOB beans are down probably 5 cents on the week. Fresh, you know, FOB meal is still offered fairly aggressively versus the U.S. Brazil, the real, 5.35-1. China imported 8.86 million metric tons from Brazil last month. You know, in August, September, the premiums did drop 5 to 7 cents on the week. But U.S. beans are competitive. I would say August through December, we are 5 to 15 cents competitive. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week when China comes back from their little holiday, their four-day holiday, to see if we can do any business or not. We're still in a program where the market's going to have to convince producers to sell beans, whether it's by basis, spreads, board, or maybe a monster corn crop. So going to be interesting watching this thing. Wayne, that's all I have on beans. You're up on wheat.
Thank you, Rocky. I would start out by saying once again that the prices that we're seeing in U.S. futures markets as well as in the Black Sea reflect a comfortable supply of wheat around the world, which is what we were expecting to have at the end of the 1920 marketing year that ended. That will end in four days. And prices in Chicago and Kansas City were down 7-8 cents this week, and you got Kansas City nearby down to 421. A year ago, they were trading at 451. And so we definitely are within the realm of prices that we've seen before when we have crops that are expected to be about as big as they are here. The market that got beat up the most this week was Minneapolis, which had rallied up to 525, and it went all the way back down to $5 near the close today in the July contract. All of those markets have futures prices below their moving averages, which has been the case for at least a couple of weeks. And Chicago is actually traded down and closed at a new low for this year. And this is the lowest price Chicago market has been since September 1 of last year in 2019. If you look at, again, I want to emphasize when I'm talking about all the places around the world, I'm ignoring India and China because I don't believe they have that much of an impact on world prices ever. A lot of people like to trade looking at the ending stocks, including those two countries, but since in general those stocks never go anywhere and they're all inflated by the need to have food security supplies much larger than any place else in the world would ever carry, they're just not something that we need to look at to try to figure out market prices. The interesting thing about the North American crops right now, besides the fact that we're more than halfway harvested on hard red wheat, by Monday, Texas and Oklahoma will be almost done, and Kansas will probably be close to 50%. The only interesting markets that can be affected by weather are the spring wheat markets, which are primarily in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Montana in the U.S. and in the three major provinces in Canada. And those, the ones in the northern part of that I've been writing about for, it seems like, 8 or 10 weeks in North Dakota and southwest Manitoba, southeast Saskatchewan have been very, very dry now for 4 or 5 months. All of those places in Canada and the Dakotas are expected to get substantial rains in the next 5 to 7 days. The pattern is changing. I think it's about as the same time it changed last year when we thought things might be too dry, and then all of a sudden rain started and they had enough rain through the rest of the crop marketing year to produce good crops. So as you know, the condition ratings have been quite good. They did fall a little bit in North Dakota last week and also in Minnesota, but it's not clear exactly when the rain is going to come, so I'm not sure the condition ratings will change that much this week, but if we get all this rain, I'm sure they'll even out, and we should have a good crop coming from those if all of this rain appears. So that took one potential bullish leg out from under the market, which I think the market's reflected this week by trading back down. If you look at the rest of the world, the EU has a commission that rates the crop. They came out with a crop that's down 14 metric tons from a year ago. USDA said that in its last WASDE report earlier this month, and there were other people who were talking that number even before that. So I don't think that was a surprise to the market. That's about down 9% from a year ago. And it is the one really bad story for the major wheat exporters around the globe. But I don't think it's a bullish number unless it gets 5 or 6 million tons less than that for some reason. And we won't know that probably towards the end of July, when they have made a lot more harvest progress than we are going to make and have been making here in the U.S. There's been a lot of stuff written occasionally, once a week, I guess, about Argentina being behind on planting progress. Actually, they're not, from a national point of view, they're not behind. They're 71% planted this year, and they were 61% a year ago at this time. They were expecting to produce or to plant 6.6 million hectares, which is down 100,000 from a year ago. The only place that's where wheat is actually maturing right now is the far northwestern and northeastern provinces, which are the smallest producing wheat areas in the country. They've been so dry up there in the northwest, which is up near West Paraguay in and around Bolivia. Those areas have been so dry that people are concerned because the wheat has been heading and trying to mature. I will say the one place that where they are dry that slowed down the planting is in Cordoba, which is about probably the third largest provincial area that produces wheat. BA and Santa Fe are the other two in that order. And they're behind on planting versus a year ago, but a rain in the next 2 to 3 or 4 weeks probably could change all that almost overnight. So I'm not getting too excited about that one. Australia, I wrote in my weekly report, has had a slowdown in the massive rains that they've had in the eastern areas. The last 45 days have actually been slightly below normal. So there are some places in northern New South Wales and Queensland that probably produce 15% of the total national crop that are now slightly below normal if you look at a cumulative since May 1. So that's not a big deal because they had such good rains from January through first part, well, all of April, that their subsoil is in good shape. That leads me to the Black Sea, which is the one that everybody's been hoping to find out about and quickly. I guess the best way to say it is that their prices are $203 a metric ton for a 12.5 protein wheat. A year ago, those were $196. So, again, this reflects a comfortable view of the world about what's there. The wheat harvest is just starting in the south. The barley yields that have been measured and surveyed by crop tours in the last 10 days or so have been as bad down there as were expected. But some of the wheat heads that they looked at when they went in there looked what they thought was a little bit better than expected. But because starting wheat harvest this weekend, it probably will be another 10 to 14 days before we hear a lot of reports on wheat yields down there. I think the market is trading a crop in Russia of 79 to 81 or 82 million tons. We thought at one time it could be as low as 76. So they've added at least 3 to that number if you think 79 is the low side. And in Ukraine, the low side's probably 24.5 by the economy minister yesterday, which I don't believe. But basically somewhere between 25 and 28 million tons. Ucro Agro Consult that I've worked with for a long time is stuck with 26 million tons, and they're saying the same thing that they're saying in Russia. We want to see yields in the next 2 weeks, particularly of winter wheat in the middle part of the country, to see whether it offsets some of the losses that probably occurred in the south. So I think that I'll include Kazakhstan also and Siberia. I've been writing about Siberia. It's gotten drier in a much bigger area in the last 2 weeks. It produces 9 million tons out of the total Russian wheat crop, so it would be about 15%. And the driest areas that we can measure right now probably produced half of that, if not 5 of at least 4.5 to 5 million tons. So if this drought continues for another 45 days, you could easily lose 2 million tons of that. If people think that the crop is 81 and they lose 2 million out of Siberia, do they go back down to 79? We're just looking at that kind of thing right now. And in Ukraine, I think we're going to know in about 2 to 3 weeks about final planted area and some of these early yields. Their crop was expected to be down a little bit, like 1.5 million tons or 2 million tons, and perhaps it'll be only down 500,000 if the people who are optimistic win the battle. Kazakhstan is the one place that everybody had said was going to recover. It went from producing 13.7 million tons in 1819 to producing 11.5 last year, or 10.5 last year. So it was down sharply, and people were expecting it to rebound to 12.7. The drought there has intensified and widened in the northern part of the country, which produces 35 or so percent of the total crop. So do they end up with losing 1 million tons or 2 million tons or more? Let's just say it's 2 million tons. And the Russians, if the Russians are at 79, they've gained a couple. Ukraine loses one. Kazakhstan loses two. Then suddenly you have a little bit less wheat to export out of the Black Sea in total than we saw this last year. I don't think that's a wildly bullish figure, but it's not necessarily really bearish from these price levels either. So that's my take on the way that I'm looking at the world right now, and we'll know more probably by July 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there, about a lot of these things. That's all I got today, guys.
Thank you, Wayne. Anything else, Rocky?
No. It's going to be a warm weekend, so.
You mean a wild weekend up there in the wilderness of Wisconsin,
no.
Or in the
wild? No, I meant warm, not wild. I'm too old for wild weekends.
All right. Well, hey, we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
All right, see ya.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.